Wisconsin Watch is pleased to present audio versions of our stories. I'm Brad Horn. Today we bring you a story about an unusual split in two Wisconsin Court of Appeals districts that highlights growing partisan divisions in the judiciary. For audio versions of in-depth investigative journalism like what you're about to hear, please subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts, and also follow our work on X, Facebook, and Instagram via the @WisconsinWatch handle. And a quick note that the original text of today's story may have been modified slightly in places, typically rounding large numbers up or down in order to make it easier for listeners to follow. And now, the headline of today's story. In fight over voter rolls, Wisconsin's top judges can't agree on sensitive data. Original reporting by Wisconsin Watch's Jack Kelly. Originally published on February 1st, 2024. Conservative activists who challenged Wisconsin's 2020 election results could gain access to sensitive health information about people judged mentally incapable of voting after one appellate court took the unusual step of contradicting a related ruling from another branch of the same court. On Wednesday, an obscure judicial committee determined a prior ruling favoring conservative activists would not be precedent. The committee endorsed the opposing ruling in December, something that happens in roughly one out of every 10 cases. The rulings highlight the increasing partisanship in the state's judiciary and could create complications for lower court judges, legal experts told Wisconsin Watch. The decisions were issued in separate but practically identical cases from the Madison-based 4th District Court of Appeals and the Waukesha-based 2nd District Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals is the second tier in the Wisconsin court system, wedged between county circuit courts and the state Supreme Court. The Court of Appeals hears far more cases than the state Supreme Court. In 2022, the appellate court heard more than 1,500 cases. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, over the same period of time, issued just 52 decisions. Court of Appeals cases are heard in 4 appellate districts based on their county of origin. Though published decisions from all of the districts, regardless of location, are binding statewide. The Wisconsin Court of Appeals operates differently than federal appellate courts. At the federal level, in most cases, rulings only apply to the states included in that appellate court's district. Rulings from the federal 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals only apply to Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. Bryn Godard, who's a staff attorney at the University of Wisconsin Law School's State Democracy Research Initiative, said, quote, "The Wisconsin Supreme Court has said that only it has the power to overrule, modify, or withdraw language from a published Court of Appeals opinion. The Court of Appeals really isn't supposed to ever overrule its own precedent," end quote. The conflicting rulings stem from lawsuits filed by a conservative group seeking information about Wisconsinites who've been deemed by a court to be incapable of voting. The group, Wisconsin Voter Alliance, or WVA, filed lawsuits seeking the information in 13 counties. In both cases, circuit court judges in Juneau and Walworth counties dismissed requests from WVA to require county officials to provide the group with certain completed forms related to adjudicated incompetent voters. The group appealed both cases, one to the 4th District, based in liberal Madison, and one to the 2nd District, based in conservative Waukesha County. The 4th District Court of Appeals upheld the Juneau County ruling on November 9, finding that WVA does not have a, quote, clear legal right, end quote, to obtain the information because the forms are, quote, pertinent to the finding of incompetency, end quote, and therefore closed records under state law. The Madison-based court also declined on a technicality to discuss whether WVA demonstrated a, quote, need to access the information. The court's publication committee published the decision on December 21, making it legal precedent in Wisconsin. Second District Court reversed the Walworth County ruling, concluding seemingly the opposite, that WVA did have a, quote, clear legal right, end quote, to the records because, quote, access to public records is a vital and integral factor of Wisconsin's avowed presumption towards open government, end quote. The majority also found that WVA demonstrated a, quote, need for the information, end quote. Judge Maria Lazar was joined in her opinion by Judge Shelley Grogan, writing, quote, "Here, WVA asserts it has an interest in seeing that the voter rolls in Wisconsin are accurate so that our elections comport with constitutional guarantees. If maintaining accurate voter lists, as statutorily required by the legislature, is not a sufficient need, we are hard-pressed to articulate another," end quote. Lazar and Grogan insisted in a footnote that, quote, "at no point is the unified voice of this court fractured by this opinion," end quote. Both judges declined an interview request for this story. Judge Lisa Neubauer wrote in a dissent that her conservative colleagues disregarded, quote, "this court's obligation to adhere to prior precedent," end quote. Legal experts told Wisconsin Watch the two rulings are clearly contradictory. Accordingly, the Walworth County judge, David Paulson, now must determine if he should follow the precedent authored by the 4th District or abide by the order issued by the 2nd District in the appeal of the case he is overseeing. Paulson did not respond to an interview request. The court's publication committee declined on January 31st to publish the District 2 opinion. That means that the ruling is not precedential in Wisconsin courts, though the ruling is still binding in the Walworth County case. Walworth County appealed the District 2 decision to the Wisconsin Supreme Court last week, which could settle the matter. But legal experts told Wisconsin Watch the conflicting opinions among appellate districts also highlights the growing partisanship among Wisconsin's judges. And we'll return to the story shortly, but we wanted to take a moment to remind you that Wisconsin Watch is a nonpartisan, not-for-profit news source with offices in Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This and all our stories can be found at wisconsinwatch.org. If you value this kind of labor-intensive, fact-checked journalism, please consider donating at wisconsinwatch.org/donate. All donations are tax-deductible. And now, back to In Fight Over Voter Rolls, Wisconsin's Top Judges Can't Agree on Sensitive Data, by Wisconsin Watch's Jack Kelly. The conflicting rulings stem from a WVA effort to audit the state's voter list. WVA, the Wisconsin Voter Alliance, is led by Ron Hoyer, a conservative activist who worked on former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's review of the state's 2020 presidential election, which cost taxpayers $2.5 million and uncovered no evidence of widespread problems in the 2020 election. In 2022, Hoyer wrote to the state's more than 1,800 clerks, warning them that Wisconsin has some 15 to 20,000 people under a court-ordered guardianship, but fewer than 1,200 are listed in the state's voter roll file as incompetent. Hoyer concluded the true number of incompetent voters is underreported, and therefore the whole system is vulnerable to elder voting abuse. But the information he cited was misleading. Hoyer told Wisconsin Watch, WVA is evaluating the Walworth County appeal. The voter roll data file is a continuously updated public record with voter names and addresses that anyone can obtain for $12,500. In December, Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed GOP legislation that would have reduced that fee to just $250. Hoyer obtained a version of the file with about 1,200 names and addresses of voters listed as, quote, ineligible and the reason as, quote, incompetent. When Hoyer broke down the list by county, he found several counties had zero ineligible voters listed as incompetent. When he shared that information with county court officials, several told him that there were far more people adjudicated incompetent to vote in their county than were listed in the Wisconsin Elections Commission database. He then requested guardianship numbers in each county between 2016 and 2021, based on responses from about a third of the state's district courts, and using a per capita projection, he came up with the estimate of 15 to 20,000. However, the numbers Hoyer used include everyone placed under a guardianship, even though, as the District 2 appellate judges noted in their opinion, not all of them have lost their right to vote. Others placed under a guardianship are deceased, and some may have never been registered to vote, so they wouldn't appear in the public voter roll file. And some people placed under a guardianship and deemed ineligible years ago may have had their right to vote restored. However, some adjudicated incompetent individuals have voted in past elections. At the request of Wisconsin Watch, Dane County conducted a review of its adjudicated incompetent information and found about 100 examples of people voting over the past decade. A review of statewide records would likely turn up hundreds more. In 2022, WEC changed its voter file records so ineligible, adjudicated, incompetent voters are no longer labeled incompetent. The agency separately keeps incompetent voter data in a non-public file that is accessible to local clerks, who must review it periodically to update the registration status of voters. Wisconsin Election Commission spokesperson Riley Vetterkind told Wisconsin Watch the commission, quote, inventoried the written notices of incompetency it has received from county registers in probate. He said the records do not indicate whether an individual adjudicated incompetent is or ever has been registered to vote. Commission staff contacted the registers, quote, to help update or fill in any missing information on the notices so they can be more accurately compared with voter information, end quote, he said. Wisconsin Election Commission staff also contacted municipal clerks to inform them of any potential living voters in their area whose information matches the individuals named in a notice they received, Vetterkind said. Quote, municipal clerks are responsible for activating or deactivating voter records, end quote, Vetterkind said. He said clerks can use the information and investigate further whether someone in their community has been adjudicated incompetent and deactivate their voter registration if necessary. Vetterkind also noted that, quote, a change in state law is required to allow the Wisconsin Elections Commission and other state and local partners to find a long-term solution to ensure information about individuals adjudicated incompetent is adequately shared and acted upon. Put simply, there is no statutory basis for centrally compiling adjudicated incompetent records, end quote. A bill that would change how adjudicated incompetent voters are tracked in Wisconsin has passed the Assembly and is awaiting a floor vote in the state Senate. The bill would require courts to notify the Elections Commission via email when someone is adjudicated incompetent. The commission would then be required to mark the voter ineligible on the official voter registration list and notify the voter and the voter's municipal clerk of the change. Hoyer sought to reconstruct that list using documents called, quote, Notice of Voting Ineligibility Forms, which a court sends to the Elections Commission after a judge determines someone is incapable of voting. Whether those forms are, quote, pertinent to the court's finding of incompetency, end quote, and therefore not subject to a records request became the subject of Wisconsin Voter Alliance's two appeals, which eventually led to the legal conflict. Godard and Marquette University law professor Chad Oldfather said it's uncommon for two Court of Appeals districts to reach opposite conclusions in effectively identical cases. There have been instances where one appeals court panel sought to distinguish the findings of another, Godard said, but usually on minor points that didn't substantially change the rulings. While the judges in the Second District Court of Appeals claim to be answering different questions than their colleagues in Madison, the practical effects of the two rulings were contradictory, Godard, an old father said. Quote, I don't think the majority opinion in District 2, saying that it is deciding different issues, is entirely persuasive, Godard said in an interview with Wisconsin Watch. Quote, although it does analyze some different issues than the Fourth District case, it also reached some conclusions that were directly contrary to issues decided in the Fourth District case. The Second District's efforts to distinguish its opinion from that of the Fourth District offers no guidance to the county officials on how to respond to WVA's records request, Oldfather noted. Quote, it's hard to know what you would do with this situation if you were in another county seeking to figure out what to do here, end quote, he said. The competing rulings highlight the growing partisanship in Wisconsin's judicial system. Previous partisan flare-ups have mostly been seen in and around the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where a record amount of money was spent on an election last year to change the makeup of the court, and the justices have lobbed personal attacks at one another in opinions. But appellate court races have begun to draw notable spending, particularly in the Grogan and Lazar races, the two judges who ruled in favor of the Wisconsin Voter Alliance. The Republican State Leadership Committee, Judicial Fairness Initiative, spent more than $50,000 to help Grogan get elected in 2021, according to an analysis by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a nonprofit that tracks spending in Wisconsin's elections. In 2022, a group with ties to a GOP megadonor, Richard Uihlein, spent more than $400,000 to help Lazar win her seat, according to another analysis by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Both Grogan and Lazar defeated Governor Tony Evers' appointees in those races. Neubauer, who dissented in the 2nd District case, ran for Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2019, losing to Brian Hagedorn, now a swing justice on the court. Outside liberal groups spent almost $3 million on her behalf, compared with about $1.5 million for Hagedorn. Quote, "This is just another indication of the extent of the polarization, not only in our state, but that's now sort of filtering down from the Supreme Court into the courts of appeals," Professor Oldfather said. Quote, "It's very much the case that you can look at those decisions and say, well, no surprise, the perceived ideology of the judges and the perceived ideology of their votes line up pretty well." End quote. The trend encourages what Oldfather calls, quote, "shopping for the right court." It's a maneuver that makes sense for litigants, but, quote, "doesn't exactly help foster the perceived legitimacy of the court system," Oldfather added. Additional conflicting appeals court rulings could lead to complications for county-level judges, Godar said. Quote, "If you have conflicting decisions from different courts of appeals panels, it really creates a workability problem for what the lower courts should be doing," end quote. Godar continued, quote, "there's also increased importance in election cases for consistency because they have the potential to change how our democracy works," end quote. You've been listening to a story titled, "In Fight Over Voter Rolls, Wisconsin's Top Judges Can't Agree on Sensitive Data," with the original reporting for this story by Wisconsin Watch's Jack Kelly. This story was read by Brad Horn in Madison, Wisconsin. One last time before we go, if you enjoy listening to our stories, please consider making a donation to support our journalism at wisconsinwatch.org/donate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on social media. We're at Wisconsin Watch on whatever platforms you social. We'll see you next time.